Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And so they took away the stone. And then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." John 11:40-42. We have raised often the question as to how do we combat the mindset of the enemies of God and of his creation, and looked at how through the fullness that has been showered upon each of us who have been adopted as sons and daughters of the living God, that we have in some form or another been given discernment, and in so we are able to recognize the signs of the times and the lateness of the hour. With eyes that see and ears that hear, we are able to heed the warnings of the watchmen who are heralding not of the decay of humanity and of the earth, but of the coming of the Lord Jesus, who is the Father's Christ, his anointed one. We are to be speaking in boldness and with courage the truth. Jesus is returning, and when he does, all that is being done today will have been for naught. Truth will always win over lies, transparency over deception, and love over hatred. We need to, in these days, to be the voices that raise up the banner of hope, because when Jesus does return to claim that which is his own, it will be with great power and authority. And those who stand already condemned will stay that way at that day unless they have come to the foot of the cross, to the feet of Jesus, and have asked him into their lives, and in doing so, asking for his forgiveness and submitting themselves to him, and have entered into a relationship with him. When I was younger, I used to have the hardest time understanding how people could be at church at 6 p.m. and at the bar at 8 p.m. And I often thought to myself, what hypocrites. For the longest time, it kept me from stepping inside the doors of the church. And then one day, I guess looking back now, it must have been the Holy Spirit speaking to me. It came to me that these people, whoever they are, and whatever they do, they will have to answer for themselves for their actions, and that what they do should not keep me from entering the church. But still, I didn't go. And it wasn't until I had started dating and met my date's family that his mother told me that she had started praying for me. She herself, a follower of Christ Jesus and a wonderful and kind woman. Her prayers, her devotion to the Lord were an example to me, and even though it took a long time for me to answer the Lord and to commit to follow him, she never stopped praying. She never stopped sharing. She never stopped being that strong example to me, and even when her son and I split up, she never stopped loving me. In the scripture that we just read from John 11, Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you have sent me." These are our prayers lifted up, not only of our needs, but in the putting the needs of others before the Lord. These are the prayers that we should pray. Not to show we know how to pray or to boast of our prayers, but so that others may hear and be encouraged, and that they may believe in the Lord Jesus and his work on the cross and of his deliverance from sin and of the freedom to worship and to fellowship with God. Over the years, I have asked the question many, many times, do you believe, really believe? And just what is it that you do believe? Does God hear your prayers, or do you merely hope that he does? Do you pray when you need something, or do you converse with him about all things? I find myself at times talking to him as I used to talk to my mother when she was with us recuperating, and we would sit at the dining room table and talk. Those conversations like that with the Lord are when he reveals things to me that I had not thought about or seen, and oftentimes they are amazing beyond words. There is a reverence, friendship, and companionship. He's everything I need when I need it. Jesus would show those standing there that day that he was the resurrection and the life, and what his friend Lazarus needed as after the stone was rolled away. Jesus stood and called, "Lazarus, come out." Lazarus arose and walked out of the tomb. And so it is our call to step out of the tomb, to shake off the chains of bondage, and to do as Lazarus was to have done in taking off his grave clothes that were stained and soiled. And for us now alive, because of the Lord, to be clothed in righteousness and full of life through the power of God, with death losing its hold over us. You see, the light that shines into the valley of the shadow of death is life-giving, and it clothes the naked and breathes life into the dead. Salvation is taking from you the grave clothes and making you presentable to stand before your God. Come out. Come, follow me, the Lord beckons. Come and sup with me and live with me. Come, I am the good shepherd, and the sheep of my pasture I will care for and protect. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23. This is the journey of a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, who, being redeemed by his blood, having been bought with a price, being given the privilege of being adopted into the family of God, is now able to call the Lord God your heavenly Father, and to be considered a co-heir with Christ Jesus, and to see the fulfillment of the promise to live eternally with him. What in this life could compare even with one of those blessings? You cannot take to heart the depth of this psalm if the Lord is not your shepherd, if you do not walk with him daily and let him take you and lead and guide you through the obstacles of the day. Psalm 23 gives so much to each of us in the strength of its words, in the depths of their meaning, and in the security of its promises. The King James Version uses the word mercy instead of love. It is an outreach of love, a foundation of love, as one must care for and about to have compassion and mercy on another. And the Lord has shown us that to us in ways both large and small, by his promise to not send the floods again, by his patience with us as we journey through these days, and the things in which mankind has done and is in the process of doing one to another. Were he not who he is, there would be none of us here today. David penned words of praise, of thanksgiving, of dependence, and gracious understanding of that need and of the fulfillment of those needs by the Lord. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Is that not the desire of your heart? To enter into his courts with praise and thanksgiving, not only for what he has done, but for who he is. Does your heart not speak to your mind to remind you that he is in control, no matter what the world may look like outside of your window, or in its grip as it tries to take hold of you and pull you under? David will, while praising God and lamenting on his journey with him by his side, speak the following: "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." Psalm 27:4. No matter where you are, whether you call yourself Christian or have yet to come to know the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior, let today be the day that you listen to your heart, because planted within are the ways of God. He's put them there for you, but you will not recognize them without the help of his Holy Spirit. And he will come to you when you give your life, your sin-filled life, over to Jesus and ask him to revive you, to restore you, to bring life, breathe life into you, to forgive your sins that you have committed against him and him alone. Let the Lord be your shepherd. Follow him, and you will find your days filled with goodness and mercy and strength, and in the promise of hope you will rest. There, may you dwell with him forever and ever. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name.